We're going to stay with Bill Herber for the next item. Item three, the financial update with dashboard design review and contractor recommendations. So this is an informational item, but looking for some board discussion around this. So, Bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Imason. Once again, Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the board. My name is Bill Herber, Deputy Director for Administration, and still with me is James Short, Assistant Deputy Director for Admin. I'll carry the bulk of this topic, but certainly James, weigh in if situation warrants. So today we want to talk to you a bit about our past, present, and projected future financial condition, as well as some of the effort we are working through to make improvements on that front, and talk a bit about MGO and their recommendations toward the end of this presentation. So managing the financial resources of an organization is overlapped effort in three areas. And to be frank, you know, sometimes this overlap has been more of a gap for our organization historically, certainly some part of our current financial situation, but you'll see we've been making a great strides in improving this effort. So those three areas are budget, both development and execution of the forward-thinking roadmap of the fiscal and biennial level, and you've heard a bit about that with the previous topic. On finances, we have a real-time management of our fiscal services and resources. And finally, we have accounting, the historic quantitative information about our finances. You have to take all of those into consideration when you look at the financial condition of any organization. So it's important, and we'll draw kind of connections through those three areas as we work through this presentation. So we've been doing great at some of these at a siloed level, but we are only now truly understanding our business as we start producing this overlap of those areas and enlightening the work we do. So a great place to start is with our budget, since we just talked about our upcoming 21-23 budget development process. But here we're looking back at our 19-21 budget. James mentioned it is $418 million, and you heard about the legislatively adopted budget and how that becomes the approved budget once changes are introduced through additional legislative process. And this is highlighted every time we go through the biennium, as our funding model has to evolve as we manage or try to manage paying for wildfire suppression in the state. We always do have to seek limitation in funding after the fire season has ended. And this, as you know, means we must bear the cost of those suppression efforts until relief comes in the short sessions or the emergency board as in regards to our budget. So this chart, you can see how our adopted budget grows into the approved budget. And most recently, we received some general fund relative to severity resources, fire preparation, and the acknowledgement of increased COVID costs. You can see that in the general fund, as well as we've increased our other fund limitation to pay for those wildfire suppression costs. Through the budget development process, the legislature allows an organization to spend money through expenditure authorization, receive money through revenue authorization, and hire people through position authorization, just like James mentioned earlier. Here we are looking at our revenue authorization. At the time of this data, we were 50% through the biennium, although the organization is all over the board on tracking against its budget for revenues. Administration and private force are tracking exact as normal, but you can see fire has already exceeded its biennial authorization pretty substantially. This is driven by large fire collections, as we are receiving revenue from previous biennia, just like much of our biennium's cost from this year's fire season will be recovered in future biennia. For state forests, this is a pretty typical situation where they carry a lot of extra revenue limitation to allow them to adjust to changes in the revenue stream from market fluctuations. So like I mentioned, understanding the financial condition of an organization is much broader than looking at how it executes its budget. So this is just one aspect of that financial picture. This chart's a perfect example. It doesn't really tell you much out of the context that it's in. But now if we apply the accounting layer to this, we get a little better sense of how we're doing. This is looking at actual revenue across the biennia. As you'll see, State Forest falls into a pretty typical pattern with historical trends. I do want to point out that this chart is our gross revenue, which is a little different than the previous chart, which was net and accruals. So you'll be hearing a lot about the differences of the numbers. So if you go through this presentation, try to add up all the numbers. Some of them don't make sense because some are looking at cash balances. Others are looking at accrual accounting, and it's important. Once again, all aspects of those three areas to monitor fiscal health. So a little different data, but another piece of that financial picture. So you can see the big jump in fire reimbursement. This really highlights the monumental effort we've been working through this biennium to recover all our previous fire cost recoveries. We'll talk a little bit about that more in detail as we get to accounts receivable. Private forest also has quite the increase. You just can't see it because there's a little bar down at the bottom, but this is due to some incremental increases in harvest tax, decrease in their portion of administration prorate, and some additional federal funds. You'll see admin tracking pretty much as normal across the biennium, and that's certainly due to the nature of our business. So that was the revenue side. Let's move over to the expenditure side here, and this is once again our budget and our authorization on expenditures. Here you can see we're currently sit compared to that limitation, and it's pretty much as we always do. If you look at a picture in any biennia, this is what it'll usually look like. This tool doesn't fit well with fire due to the large increases in expenditures during the fire season, well in excess of our authorized budget. And you can see the effects of the end of fire season 2018 and 2019 on this chart. This is why we have to go back and ask for additional expenditure limitation as we move through the biennium. Across the board, we do carry excess limitation in most of these categories. And throughout the biennium, this buffer allows us to manage the increased cost of fire, but we do reconcile it toward the end of the biennium. But once again, you do need a little more information for this picture to be very meaningful. And so back to the accounting side, we have a comparison of expenditures across a biennia. And as you can see, it's pretty consistent across the last three biennia and typical for the agency. It would be nice to see one of these days a reduction on the fire expenditures, but not really panning out for us, but pretty much like clockwork. So let's jump into finances, so the other aspect of managing our health. And we'll start with accounts receivable. This is money people owe us that we have billed. And that's an important distinction because there is that narrative of the money that we are owed, but not all of it is billed. So this is accounts receivable that we have sent an invoice out the door and are waiting for that person or that organization to pay that invoice. Currently, our total accounts receivable is about $56 million, and that number will come into play shortly. It actually came up earlier with State Forester's Doherty's comments on our loan through Straight Treasury, but I'll reference it again in a slide upcoming. So this is our AR aging information. This is the amount of time it takes to collect money from various entities. You'll see we have them grouped by sector, federal, local, state, and private. And we do this so when we do get into the thick of fire season, we can triage our limited cash availability and ensure that our smaller private vendors take priority versus, you know, the federal agencies. So this mechanism of bucketing our vendors allows us to do that. And then we look at it through aging bucket, 45, 90, less than 180, and greater than 180 days. Should come as no surprise that some of the federal partners take a while to collect from, and you've been hearing a lot of that. And this is due to various reasons. We've been making great strides at improving that. If you look at that previous slide that I showed where we really ramped up the revenue on the large fire cost recovery. So we've been doing much better at collecting from private partners than in the past. You'll see it's pretty low, and it's been a lot of effort on our behalf to look at those aging receivables and work with Department of Revenue on following through with collections. And also some state and federal agencies wait until the end of the fiscal year to pay their direct bills. So I didn't mention earlier, this topic was scheduled for last board meeting, but we did update these numbers. But if you go back and look at those charts, you'll see that the local government and the state government are probably a little bit higher. And that's because the fiscal year just ended and often they wait until those fiscal year changeovers to pay those things. Strategy we use as well. But they're paid now. In the totals, you can see that most of our AR falls into the greater than 180 days bucket, and the majority of that being federal, those two charts on the right. All of this, what you're looking at right now, is a fairly manual process, and you'll see that in the recommendations of MGO. We are currently implementing a new AR system, which will help us efficiently track outstanding accounts receivable and produce more timely collection results. So we're really looking forward to that effort. And I believe it's going live this month.
August.
All right. Thank you. So we can't discuss our agency's accounts receivable without talking about large fire cost recovery. From just a year ago, this is a massive success story. Since 2013, we have recovered nearly 90% on $500 million worth of large fire suppression costs. And frankly, we've done it on a shoestring budget. With that structure and staffing we currently have in place that we're currently working with, that workload for those individuals should have been more in the ballpark of $70 million during that time period. So it gives you a sense of the scope of work here. Of the $19 million we have outstanding to invoice and or reconcile, a good portion of that is FEMA. And it's important to look at, the amount invoiced. There is $44 million. Some of that will take a while. It's our majority of it is our federal partners, and they are under the same budget constraints that we're facing, so they work through that process. State Forester and the Fire Protection Chief, Doug Graff, have been doing a lot of work with our partners to kind of facilitate the payment of those. In fact, we, as State Forester Doherty mentioned, we just received nearly $15 million from FEMA on a 2018 Garner Complex fire, which is pretty incredible that we received that money just 11 months after we submitted it. So hopefully an indication of things to come. On the outstanding, the invoice and reconcile, you look at these numbers and you can't get into the mindset of why don't we just send the invoices out the door, because it's a much more difficult and complex picture than that. Some of these, for example, in 2015, the $1.48 million, we are awaiting a federal invoice before we can submit our $3 million FEMA claim on that amount. So much like the amount invoiced waiting on payments, sometimes we're waiting on an invoice from one of our partners before we can move the next steps in our processes. So a lot of complexity here, just like anything else regarding large fire. So on the other side of the accounting shop, we have accounts payable, or the amount we owe our vendors. Outside of fire season, this is a pretty boring metric. In fact, you can see that here. We are statutorily required to pay our vendors within a 45-day period, absent the declaration of an emergency. And you can see we usually hit that amount without any constraints on our capacity or cash as fire season. In fact, right now, accounts payable is at $2.6 million, and it's all within 45 days, and we have no reason to think it won't be paid within that time frame. Last month, we did have one outlier to the tune of $250, but that ended up being an IRS issue with a vendor address. So outside of fire season, accounts payable is really nothing to look at. Now, once fire season gets into a full swing, certainly capacity on our cash does make this problem much more complex. A little bit of how we're addressing our cash. We'll talk a little bit about how we're addressing our cash situation, but as far as the capacity on the workload, we've implemented a purchasing and payment system to automate much of our processes. This is the Organ Buy system you might have heard about previously. And as well, we've adjusted workflows to accommodate the eventual increase of that firework. So we positioned ourselves. We've learned a lot through the 2018 season and are applying those processes to now. So hopefully in 2019, we can be much more successful on accounts payable. Like I said, our priority is to pay our private vendors and get them on the door so they can continue to help us address the fires. This is one area we'll continue to watch because, like I mentioned, we do value those vendors. So, of course, the big question regarding finance is how much cash do we have available, as the main situation in front of us is whether we have the resources to maintain operations and solvency. And it's certainly been a question for the last year for this department. A majority of our revenues and expenditures happen in large batches throughout the year, often competing each other. So you'll see our cash balances are constantly churning, as you denoted by this chart. So I wanted to walk you through this to just give you an understanding of how some of the revenues and expenditures impact us and how we try to mitigate those. So let's start at the beginning of the biennium. Other than large fire, our single biggest expenditure is our disbursements of timber harvest revenue to the counties that happen every quarter. And often these are happen when we have very limited resources. You can see here by the large dips in our cash reserves, because that's usually a $15, $20, $25 million payment going out to the counties. And we really have to prepare for those quarterly payments to make sure everything else is in order. Next, as you might expect, the biggest draws are our cash balances, our fire costs, and the red circles indicate large amounts of payments to support these expenditures. I kind of stumbled there when had a panic attack when the red button or when the red circle appeared, because it's at the top of the apex, and I just talked about large fire costs. But that first red dot on large fire costs is when we basically pulled in the agency's entire biennial general fund appropriation to support fire season 2018. So you have this huge spike of general fund coming in, but then just a massive onflux of expenditures. So those expenditures really drove down that peak. So that's the storyline behind that first peak in the chart. And much like fire costs, our largest, much like the fire costs on the revenue side, our largest driver for expenditures, they are also a big driver for our revenue stream. So the blue dots you can see are our successes in pulling in fire cost recoveries at the peaks of the chart. On this, you won't see it's coming in right off the chart, that $15 million from FEMA. It will show up next month. It's actually in our books now, but it'll show up when July closes fiscally. So next, the brown and orange dots represent some of the other revenue streams within our agency, timber revenue and fire patrol assessments. Timber revenue is pulled in throughout the year, usually gets lost in the churn, but we've seen some good numbers lately kind of leading to that increase of our current cash balance, which is certainly welcome as we enter into fire season. And in purple, you'll see this is a good one for us. This is the last payment to Treasury for our line of credit to $25 million. So that accounted for that. You can't see the other side. It's kind of hidden in there, but we pulled in a lot of revenue to there to support that $25 million. And that, of course, does mark the end of our line of credit as a cash management strategy as we move forward. And then finally, an artifact of our current financial situation, and it's driving our tools and reporting crazy, was our utilization of DAS to buffer our payroll costs. So these green circles are actually highlight some of the larger repayments as we catch up on our payroll. So DAS is still positioned to help us mitigate costs by absorbing our payroll, and they've committed to doing three-month runs if the situation arises. But currently, we are in a situation where we have paid back all our payroll and anticipate to keep that moving forward as we work through the summer. Do we have a question out there?
Sorry, Jim Kelly has his hand up.
Yeah, I had one question, but also just wanted to say congratulations on what you guys have done in terms of the large fire costs collection. That's great news. I just wanted to comment about the aging accounts receivable. The way that chart is put together, that would seem to work for like a private business with, you know, 45 and 90. But with almost everything in the bucket of 180, I think that would be a lot more useful chart for us. I don't think we're all that interested in 30, 45, and 90, but I think we're very interested in what's greater than 180, whether, you know, how much is 1 year, how much is 2 year, how much is 3 year, 4 year. And that chart's not giving us any of that information. So just a suggestion for a little modification.
Thank you. That is a great suggestion, and actually highlights when I mentioned earlier about some of the silos of our data. We're getting a lot more information on how our federal partners pay back their revenue. Unfortunately, we're kind of in a weird spot because we can't really look historically because we weren't doing as great a job of getting invoices out the door. So the long-term picture is kind of skewed. And then if you look at now, we've been doing a lot of aggressive follow-up on those large fire cost recoveries. So probably not indicative of how we move into kind of a standard operating procedure, but that is actually a question we have been looking at so we can get in the norm of what it takes to recover these large fires. And we've talked previously, it's looking like 2 to 4 years. I mentioned the 11 months from FEMA. That's probably not sustainable across every FEMA fire, but that 2 to 4 year picture is probably more than likely, but that's certainly that, understanding of our data and the information will help us drive through that picture so we can answer that question for you, certainly, as we move into the future. Appreciate the comment. So, I got to go through all my little... I'd like to, for the next two slides, I'd like to bring up Liz Dent, if that's all right, the state forest chief, to kind of talk us through some of the state forest financial metrics. Thank you, Liz.
All right, good morning. Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the board, for the record. My name is Liz Dent, and I serve as the State Forest Division Chief. I think at a previous board meeting, you had asked for some additional financial metrics addressing the state forest business, and so we've provided two slides here. This one in front of you characterizes four different elements. The top black line, well, first of all, the way the graph is set up, you've got the dotted line there. Everything left of that vertical dotted line is trends to date, and everything to the right of that vertical dotted line are projections. And the graph represents revenue over time. So the top black line is total revenue brought in through the State Forest Division operations. The next line down is the green line, and that's the total revenue distributed to the counties. The blue line is the revenue that we retain with the agency to cover the operations for state forests. And then the red line are the expenditures in the State Forest Division. And basically what it is clear from this is that over the past several years, we've had an increasing trend in total revenue being brought into the agency and being distributed to the counties. We anticipate in the years to come to still retain or maintain fairly high amounts of revenue coming into the agency and being distributed to the counties. We are projecting that we'll be expending more revenue than is being retained in the State Forest Division. However, we have really solid internal tracking tools and are able to make adjustments year to year to control that deficit spending. Just a little bit here, little background on how this works. For the projections, those are based on the amount of timber that has been harvested, but the value has not yet come in. Also, we base those projections on what has been sold. And then as you get farther out in time, those projections are relying more on what has been planned to harvest. And so I think it goes without saying that the farther out in time that we make these projections, the greater uncertainty there is around the actual, precision of those projections. So just really wanting to be clear about that. Another big driver on these projections is the actual value and housing starts. So stumpage prices and housing starts. So those are the big drivers in terms of what we can expect in terms of revenue for state forests. And the other metric that the board has been interested in the past is our forest development fund balance. And so this shows the fund balance. Help me out, Bill, is that July of 2019? Yeah, so you've got a monthly tracking of the forest development fund balance to date for the past year. And again, this just depicts, it's a reflection of the previous graph of the total revenue coming in from the sale of timber. And of course, then the expenditures are beginning to outpace the revenue that's coming in, or we would anticipate that in the upcoming years. And so we would anticipate the forest development fund balance to come down as well. One of the things I want to point out, we've talked about this several times, so apologies if this is too much of a repeat for you all, but we offer 3-year contracts to our purchasers. And during the good market, the purchasers really took advantage of that. And that's part of the intention and why they like those 3-year contracts is that it gives them the flexibility to respond to market conditions. So we found during the really good timber market that our purchasers were harvesting those timber sales very early on in those 3-year timeframes. And so again, that's reflected in the trends where we're seeing a big increase in the forest development fund and incoming revenue because those timber sales were being harvested sooner in that 3-year contract timeframe. And then ultimately that, what goes up must come down. And so we'll be seeing a commensurate decrease in volume since those contracts are being completed sooner. Happy to answer any questions before I sit down.
I don't see any hands up. Any questions for Liz? Thank you.
Thank you, Liz, for covering those slides. On to the previously scheduled broadcast. We'll talked about our past and present, but most often the most important question is what about the future? And that's what we're talking about here. We've been spending a lot of time working on the tools, systems, and processes to accurately project our cash situation based on various revenue and expenditure projections. This chart is based on our projection tools that overlay actual and projected revenues, expenditures, general fund availability, cash balances, and attempts to forecast our operation or our financial position given various fire seasons we might see. This is taking a look at what we are administratively seeing and then applying that operational insight to really provide us information what our future might look like. So this tool attempts to project the ending balance of our agency in the course of a fire season. And we model against 4 levels, none, which is, I think, highly optimistic, low, medium, and high. Interesting enough, even if we have no fire season, we do incur large fire costs from our cooperation with various partners, and that's usually to the tune of about $8 million. As of now, the Fire Protection Division is anticipating an above-average fire season, so it would fall between one of those $70 million or $112 million average amounts of a medium and high fire. So the purple line you see going across the screen is what we consider our prudent reserve, and it's roughly about $45 million. That amount would allow our programs to operate normally in their normal business lines without having to adjust operations such as cost containment measures due to limited financial resources. And so we strive to keep enough cash on hand to make that prudent reserve. So our projections currently show us ending with a ending balance of, and you can see that in the purple, green, orange. So the blue line you see on the left is actuals to date. And as the lines kind of disperse, those are those models based on a non-low, medium, and high fired season. Right now, if we were sitting at if we realized no fire season, we would sit at an ending balance of $47 million, $35 million if we happen through a low fire season, and we're projecting going negative to the tune of $14 million or $56 million with a medium or high fire season, respectively. And that would be a fire season that we've seen in 2013 and 2018, which would take us into that red line, so pretty significant for the organization. But given that we know that, as Peter mentioned, our loan through the state of Treasury is our immediate strategy to mitigate the potential of running out of funds during fire season. And that is pretty unique, the loan. Previously, we've used lines of credit after the fact or kind of during. This loan gives us resources on the forefront rather than trying to piecemeal the strategy as we go through fire season. So we're looking forward to having that available. But like Peter mentioned this morning, we will strategize when the best time is to start incurring interest on $55 million. So this chart is a work in progress. It takes a lot of time to produce. Actually, not that much time, but it is a very manual process. And much of the data comes from disparate agency and state systems. And this chart is not our future. Hopefully the data, you know, it's projecting is, but this chart is not. But certainly the insight it provides is what we're after. And that moves us into what we're going to talk about next. So like many organizations, we collect a lot of data, but we struggle to turn it into meaningful and actionable information, often due to the complexities of our systems and processes. And you'll hear MGO's recommendations. They talk quite a bit about that. That complexity can be managed by controlled systems, and we have been developing centralized systems to manage the interoperability of many of those disparate machines and systems throughout the agency and the state. A key one to our ability to gain insight into our agencies is what we call OFERS, our online fiscal reporting system. You've heard about this a few times, but we're finally at a point where we can operationalize some of this stuff. This system provides contextual awareness around many different data sets and provides real-time access to them, even if the base system does not support real-time access. So that's really key, as many of our systems are have different update periods. Some are real time, some are daily, weekly, and monthly. OFERS manages all of that to provide easy to use interface to some of these complex underlying systems. So actually this system has been highlighted by MGO as central in many of their outputs they were originally brought in to deliver, as well as the solution to some of their recommendations. So we are continuing to work on them to deploy this into production, but they see it as a useful effort that they are part of. So we actually have a late breaking update as far as OFERS. Just yesterday, with the assistance from the state data center, we stood up two production servers that will provide, we've been working on that for quite a while. It's finally happened. This will provide the backbone of all our current and future business intelligence systems. We've been working, like I said, for these components for quite some time. And with these servers in place, we can start operationalizing a lot of these components. So looking forward to that. So what can OFERS do? It can do quite a few things, but taking the example we were just looking at with our cash projection tool, I showed you the old manual way to do it. And OFERS takes all of the manual processes out of that effort and makes the information available as near real time as the underlying data will allow. This was actually going to be a live demo of the system, of the cash runway system, but in order to begin the transition of the production servers, we had to take some components down. Hence why I have the warning up there that this is sample data, because I think it shows us with an ending balance of $87 million, and that's not likely in any scenario. But that was due to the transition to production. So we can't have the live run through, but that's all right. We can still make do with what we've got. But to zoom in on a piece, you can see it lets the user drill down into many of the various aspects rather than get stuck with just a chart. This allows you to look at detailed information and provides the ability for users to change up there in the right corner. You could actually change real time the modeling fire season that you're anticipating, and all of this information will adjust accordingly. So it gives a lot of insight into managers making decisions based on those future projections. Before informing the board, there's a lot of information here, certainly not in a format that I would like delivering to you. The data is real time, and so that should that information be toward you, which is why much of OFRS will consist of very simple dashboards that focus on exceptions and highlighting, much like Jim said, with the understanding what the financial or the federal reimbursements are. We can have a lot of that stuff in these systems. So this is actually a screenshot from the system just yesterday. And as you can see, it summarizes at a high level of all the information we've been talking through. The big ones are the kind of the ease of use of like the exceptions right in the middle. Right now there's green zeros because there are no exceptions. But as payroll or accounts receivable starts going off the track, those things start incrementing and flash colors and whatnot. And it gives Peter, you know, some insight that he needs to see what's going on in our accounting shop as far as accounts payable or something like that. But it really allows somebody to see at a high level or very context-based what's happening within the department without having to understand the complexities of the underlying systems, processes, or tools. So now that we have this infrastructure in place, we will begin providing the board a monthly summary of various financial metrics shortly after the fiscal close of every month. We do work on a monthly fiscal process, and they close usually about mid-month of the following month. So shortly thereafter, the board will receive a summary report on various aspects of the agency. And this will be progressively adjusted based on not only your feedback, but our other systems coming online, as well as working with MGO. So there's a much more coming on these efforts, and I look forward to providing this detail to you well before the board meeting, so you can look at them and ask questions as we work through things. So speaking of working with MGO, in your packet you have the complete listing of their current recommendations, and that is a living document and has and will change again. You'll find that many of the recommendations overlap, and this is due to their initial findings and discoveries prompting them in one direction, but as they increased their awareness of the business, they saw convergence on other issues or strategies, and you can kind of see that in some of their work. So when MGO started, they had a set of deliverables laid out, but quickly found out that the department had already been doing much of that work. So they had to kind of shift course, specifically around fire cost recoveries and cash management and forecasting. So rather than recreate those efforts, much of their work is helping us to continue them, because they saw a lot of the good work we were doing and some of the systems, and they think they're good moves in the right direction. So this effort in its entirety has definitely been affected by COVID-19. MGOs and our partners at MGO have been locked down pretty significantly, not only being in California, but due to their employer. So this contract has been extended until December 2020, so they can continue this work with us. If you realize, or if you remember, they were slated to end June 30th of this year. So we'll continue to work with them throughout the year. They don't anticipate it taking till December, but we have that time available. So given MGO's background in accounting and auditing, it is no surprise that accountability and controls are their forefront of their thinking. Their work has coalesced around six central themes within the agency, most of the area in that oversight and accountability bucket. The others being budgeting, resource training, standardization, information technology, and forecasting, as you can see on this chart. So I don't want to just go through the list with you. You have that in your packet, but here's some of the themes you'll see in those recommendations. Along the lines of budgeting, there's quite a bit of them talking about tracking budgets to actuals across the department and within the districts, and then reconciliation between fiscal and biennial budgets is an area that they've identified. And I do want to mention they put a risk in there, and often in risk, you look at not only the severity of the risk, but also the frequency of it, and maybe even calculate ease of implementation. They just took a one-shot approach at prioritizing risk, but they are going to decompose that to give us a little better sense of what they actually meant, because some of the things that are low probably have high frequency or high impact, but they don't factor in on some of the other areas. So they're going to break that out to give us a little more insight to what they were thinking. In forecasting, they identified a lack of ability for the department to look at our cash flow and project, and they've seen what we've been doing, but that's certainly an area they want to enhance. A big one for them has been information technology. They noted our disparate and outdated systems, also our manual and complex processes across the organization, varying in districts, varying in headquarters. Also noted, I think, you know, some of the complexities of the state system. But once again, like I mentioned, they saw what we're moving in administration on the accounts receivable side with the Sage 300 system, and what the work we're doing around OFRs a big part of digging out of those recommendations. So the biggest one has been oversight and accountability. A lot of the recommendations focus around structure of the organization. But also dealing into the authority and controls on how processes are driven through whatever they're trying to accomplish. And you'll see a lot on reporting, people needing to know what they need to know, when they need to know it, and in the context of what they're looking at. And as you've heard, we've been addressing a lot of that, and they are helping us do that. They note resources and training being an issue for our finance staff and other staff dealing with fire costs, not only training the people we have, but also onboarding new individuals as they come in. We're not doing such a great job, and they've made some recommendations on that. And then another big central theme for them has been standardization, or the lack thereof. And then that's through fire estimates, invoicing, receivable systems, and that goes through headquarters and districts. Make some specific notes in there. Some of them we're working through for more clarification. So the next steps, the executive team has been working with these, providing feedback, and some of the recommendations outline a state for the organization that's very different than what we've done historically. So executive team's been weighing those very heavily as far as how we move forward. And we will be working with MGO to get them responsible party so they can start to continue their understanding of the issues, as well as they are ultimately looking for management responses for all these recommendations. You'll note on your spreadsheet there's three columns on the right in yellow. Those are looking for feedback from the agency. Much like an audit, they're looking for what the management thinks of them, whether they agree, disagree, and what's some mitigation plans that they can put in place. And so we are having a conversation with elaborating all aspects of that work. So currently, MGO is working through some of our financial data regarding our cash tracking processes. So even though they are offsite, they are doing a lot of work on our behalf, and we appreciate having them as a partner. With that, that's all I have. And that concludes our presentation, and James and I would be welcome to take any questions.
Board members, any comments or questions? Don't see any hands up here. Really thorough report, I think. Very helpful. Okay. Then we are scheduled to take a break at this point. We are running a little early, but why don't we go ahead and take that break now until 10:45, and then we'll reconvene then. And we'll start with the fire season readiness and agenda item 4, and then we'll move on to the executive session agenda item 5. So you might want to make sure you're muted, and you might want to stop video during the break. Up to you. Thanks.